It's a rainy day in Hillsboro town, making it green. The lawn is no longer brown. Enough howling at the moon, Mr. Blair. Okay. I'm going to take up where we left off yesterday with Mr. Spurgeon. But first, I'm going to read from the 6th of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne. He was high, and he was lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet. With 2 he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I'm lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he'd taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth, and he said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go, say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitants and houses without people in the land. The land is a desolate waste, and the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. Many will be lost, but there will be the saved. If we choose to do the Lord's work, he calls us to do so, and we do it. Those that are to be saved will be saved. A stump will remain. But we must preach the gospel." Back to the sermon. In the last place, very briefly, the work which such persons will be called to undertake. Isaiah's history is a picture of what many and many a true Christian laborer may expect. Isaiah was sent to preach very unpleasant truth. But like a true hero, he was very bold in preaching it. "Isaiah is very bold," says the apostle. Now, if you're called of God either to preach or teach or whatever it is, remember the things you have to preach or teach will not be agreeable to your hearers. Scorn on the man whoever desires to make truth palatable to unhallowed minds. There are plenty of preachers who do that, but you ought not to do that. If he modulates his utterances or suppresses the truth which God has given him, even in the slightest possible degree, to suit the taste of men, he's a traitor and a coward. Let him be drummed out of God's regiment and driven from the army of God altogether. God's servants are to receive God's message. And whether men will hear or whether they will forbear, they are to deliver it to them in the spirit of old Micaiah, who vowed, "As the Lord my God liveth, whatsoever the Lord says to me, that will I speak." But this is not the hardest task. The severest labor is this. We may have to deliver unpleasant truth to people who are resolved not to receive it, not to hear it. They don't want it. To people who will derive no profit from it whatsoever, but rather will turn it to their own destruction. You see in the text that ancient Israel was to hear, but not to receive. They were to be preached to, and the only result was to be that their heart was to be made fat and their ears dull of hearing. What? Is that ever to be the effect of the gospel? The Bible tells us so. Our preaching is a savor of death unto death, as well as life unto life. Ah, says one, I should not like to preach at that rate. Ah, but remember, brother, that the preaching of the cross is a sweet savor of Christ either way. The highest object of all to a Christian laborer is not to win souls. Now, that's a great object, but the great object is to glorify God. Many a man has been successful in this who didn't succeed in the other. If Israel be not gathered yet, if we bear our testimony for God, our work is done. No farmer thinks of paying his men in proportion to the harvest. He pays his workers for work done, and so will we be with us. It'll be that same way. By God's grace, and if I happen to be a very successful laborer here, I boast not, nor claim any large reward on that account. I believe that had I preached the gospel with earnestness and waited upon God, if he had denied me conversions, my reward would be as great at the last in some respects. Because the Master would not lay to my door a non-success which could not be attributed to me. If the God of the harvest pleases to withhold the shower and the dew and the rain and the sunshine, why then in such a case as that he soweth is not to be blamed if he does not reap. Now, dear friends, God does not put his people to this kind of trial often. He does so sometimes, but if he does, they may always comfort themselves with this. I have not spent my strength for nothing, for God is glorified, whether souls be saved or not. Brothers and sisters, it would be a very pleasant thing for me to ask you whether you would go for God in your daily vocation and tell of Jesus to sinners who are willing to hear of him. You would all be glad to do that. If I were to ask which sister here would take a class of young women, all anxious to find Christ, well, you would all hold up your hands. If I could say, who will take a class of boys who long to find the Savior? You might all be glad of such an avocation. But I have to put it in another way, lest you should afterwards be dispirited. Who among you will try and teach truth to a drunken husband? Who among you will carry the gospel to despisers and profligates and into places where the gospel will make you the object of rage and derision? Who among you will take a class of ragged roughs? Who among you will try and teach those who will throw your teaching back upon you with ridicule and scorn? Well, you are not fit to serve God unless you are willing to serve him anywhere and everywhere. You must with a servant be willing to take the bitter with the sweet. You must be willing to serve God in the winter as in the summer. If you're willing to be God's servant at all, you are not to pick and choose your duty and say, here am I, send me where there is pleasant duty. Anybody will go then. But if you're willing to serve God, you'll say today, through floods and flames, if Jesus leads, I will by the Holy Spirit's aid be true in my following. Now, I know none of you can say that unless you have felt your own nothingness and have had your lips touched with a live coal. And if that is the case, then you'll say, here am I, send me. Now, though I have said nothing particularly with regard to foreign missions, I have preached this sermon with the view that God will stir you all up to serve his cause, particularly with the hope that the missionary feeling being begotten may show itself in a desire also to carry the gospel into foreign parts. Pastor Harms, well, he has been taken to his rest. But those of you who know the story of his life must have been struck with it, how an obscure country village on a wild heath in Germany was made to be a fountain of living waters to South Africa. The poor people, they had little care for the name of Jesus till harms went there. And notwithstanding that, I have no sympathy with its Lutheran high churchism and exclusiveness, but I may say he went there to preach Christ with such fire that the whole parish became a missionary society, sending out its own men and women to preach Christ crucified. That ship, the Candace, purchased by the villagers of Hermansburg with their own money, went to and from South Africa, taking the laborers to make settlements and undertake Christian enterprise in that dark continent. The whole village was saturated with the desire to serve God, to preach the gospel to the heathen. And Harms, at the head of it, acted with a simple faith worthy of apostolic times. I would that my God would give me what I should consider the greatest honor of my life, the privilege of seeing some of the brethren and sisters of this church devoted to the Lord going forth into foreign parts. And me personally, I would love to see my brothers and sisters going forth into heathen parts in America, because the whole country seems to be turned into heathenism, paganism, far away from God. This country, America, it needs Jesus. That day may come when we have been able to do something for this heathen country of America. Then we can do something for other heathen countries in sending out our sons and daughters. Meanwhile, we got a work to do. We got a work to do, Pilgrim. We got brothers and sisters. We have husbands and wives. We have neighbors. We have a whole nation called the United States of America. We have a whole country called Canada. Whatever country you live in. But my American brothers and sisters especially, this nation is fallen in a rut. A slippery rut. A downhill rut headed straight for hell. Speak the truth. Speak the gospel to people. Don't be afraid. They want to smack you up along the side of the head. It must be God's will. Maybe we'll learn something from it. But speak the gospel. Speak up. Glorify your Savior. Glorify God. I say this as much to myself as anybody else. I'm chicken-hearted at heart. But I gotta speak up. Well, some things to think upon. Maybe tomorrow I can be kinder. Maybe not. God bless, brothers and sisters. Have a blessed, blessed day with our Lord Jesus Christ. Get in that Bible and study. God bless.